celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio. Here are your hosts, Al Abrams and Judy Francis.
And your dream team, for which we cannot live without, Dr. Debbie answering your vet medical questions, dog trainer Alan Cable, the very gracious dog father, Joey Volani, animal communicator, Joy Turner.
You know, I just wanted to say that we got Doc Halligan today for
Doc
Dr.
Halligan
Debbie.
In for Dr. Debbie. She's on vacation. The infamous Doc Halligan. Yeah. She's your buddy, isn't she, Joey Volani?
That's my bud. We did a lot of work together. Groomer has it. Dogs 101. A lot of, you know, stuff. Some crazy stuff. We tried to do our own show a few times together. That was getting
she's
picked
awesome.
Up and didn't. And yeah, but she's a lot of fun. She's you'll see. She's
and
a
she's single. She's single and looking.
And good
yeah,
looking.
She,
is it single
be
and
careful,
looking?
Men. She'll eat. She'll listen. I've seen her go through men left and right. She eats them up.
Spits
the West
them
Coast
out.
Men. I told her she needs an East Coast guy because that's all that can handle. Because you West Coast
right.
Aren't as, you know, as strong as we are.
Because once she neuters a man, she's done with him for good.
Speaking of good friends, your good friend Artis Knox, who you elected as Groomer of the Year.
What's going
groomer
on with
has
him?
It, Joey. It looks like he's busted.
He looks like he's Pyro of the Year.
I don't
know. It's a shame. It's a shame. I hope it's not true. But, you know.
He was arrested Friday night in Los Angeles or Pasadena for arson and setting fire that caused a $200,000 damages to a carport and vehicles parked inside. This apparently is not his first arrest for arson. Is that correct, Joey?
Well, I don't know if it's not his first arrest, but he's been under investigation. And I actually know the people that are involved in it. After he won Groomer Has It, went to work for them, and he was involved in the investigation, and I think it's still ongoing. So I think that this is actually going to stir a lot of stuff up in that old investigation as well. But it's just strange because it's a lot of fires have gone on around him, you know, his salon, his mother's house, and you know, and I'm not saying anything that I shouldn't be, but pointing fingers, but it's just very, very strange.
How's his business doing? Do you know? Ever since he won Groomer Has It, I would imagine he's had a pretty good business, right?
Yeah, he has.
You know, he started out like a house on fire, and then I really didn't follow it. Wow, that just came out by itself.
You really are the dog father.
Well, I'll reassure everybody that's listening right now to Animal Radio that all of us do not have any records or, most all of us don't have any records, and we're eligible to answer your questions, and we don't start
any fire.
I have
a record.
Do you have a record?
I once stuck an old lady in a postbox without a stamp.
Ah, there you go. Okay. It's all coming out now.
Yeah, lots of bad boys on Animal Radio.
Stacy, our bad girl, what's up in your world?
If your dog swallowed $150 or even $300, would you turn him upside down and try and get it to fall out of his stomach?
Heck yeah.
You remember, when I was a kid, I swallowed a penny. I remember my family turned me upside down. They stuffed me with bagels, turned me upside down, and tried to make me cough up the penny. Well, the penny came out. And so did this dog who swallowed $150. The money came out. I'll tell you about it. They recovered some of it, about $100 of it. It's all coming up. At least something's coming up on Animal Radio News.
Here's that $100 I owe you, Joey.
Listen, I'll take it.
Also on the show today, Allison Eastwood, who is the
daughter
of Clint Eastwood, the chair-talking guy.
That's his new reputation.
You're going to tell her that you're not a Clint Eastwood fan anymore? Are you going to tell her that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'll tell you, I was a big Clint Eastwood fan until he started talking to chairs. Yeah,
what
Joey?
Talking to chairs.
Really?
Really?
Really? His daughter will be on the show today, Allison Eastwood. She has a television show. I got to check out the trailer last night, or was it the... it was actually a whole show. It wasn't the trailer, but they were out busting people that had monkeys and lions and tigers. And
wild animals.
All kinds of wild animals.
It's called Animal Intervention.
That's on Nat Geo. The new animal planet.
You know, those people are sick.
They really are. You should hear some of the stories. Hopefully, she'll share them with us. Also on the show today, another friend of yours, Jesus, Joey Volani.
He knows everybody.
Everybody knows everybody. Lori Hess, who is a bird expert. She deals with birds. Hey, Jack. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, I'm good, Alan. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? I understand you want to talk to Alan.
I'm a over-the-road truck driver, and I'm trying to find a dog that will match being able to stay in the truck for long periods of time and ride. And it's the same time that will match my personality. which is I can be a type A personality, if that means anything, but I can also be very active and very fun out of the truck for sport activities and just pretty laid back and having fun.
Well, see, you answered your own question, Jack. It all depends on how much exercise. Any dog, let me tell you, dogs are pack animals, so the idea of having your dog with you most of the time, if not all the time, is wonderful to a dog, the fact that he's going to get to be with you. So, you know, any dog will do. It just all depends on, you know, the level of activity. You know, like Basset Hounds and Beagles, Cocker Spaniels, English Bulldogs, they're kind of lazy. Older dogs, too, is a good choice if you don't want to spend too much time exercising. But if you do, any kind of shepherd, and you want the dog to protect your truck, that's another question you could ask yourself. So if you want a dog like that, any kind of German Shepherd mix, you know, a German Shepherd mix with a Dobe or a Lab or an Airedale or a Husky, Blue Heelers are protective dogs. They're very smart, unbelievably smart. They're easy to train. They're usually not big barkers. So you just got to ask yourself what you want in a dog and then just go to work on finding the dog with the right personality, and that might take you a little time. I mean, don't go by looks, go by personality. You know, the dog that you see that is mellowed out and can stare at you for a long time, has a long attention span. But just about any dog is just gonna think it's wonderful to be with you in that truck, my friend, and it's really cool that you want to get a dog.
Dude, I'm looking for something that's, you know, a riding companion, probably 25-30 pounds, and
yeah,
out of the truck, but when we're in the truck, of course, I've got to do work. So
I'll tell you what, man, a Blue Heeler or a any kind of Blue Heeler mix would be an incredible choice, because you will be amazed at how much fun they are to be around. They're very, very smart. Matter of fact, if you get a chance, go on YouTube or go on the internet and look up a dog named Skidboot. He's a Blue Heeler. He's kind of old now, but he's got a fantastic owner, and that dog will amaze you. He's a genius dog.
Okay, and can you spell that name for me?
Skidboot. You know, like skid and boot. Those two words.
Okay.
Skid. Hey, what are you hauling, my friend? What do you usually haul in that truck?
Actually, I just got home for 3 days off, but I was in Greenbrier, West Virginia, and I haul about everything.
Man, what you do is so difficult. Thanks for bringing us all our stuff, my friend. We love you.
I love you guys every Sunday, man.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate
bringing the information to us.
We try to do our best as you bring all the stuff that we need to us. We love you, man.
You know, without you, there's no Sunday dinner at Joey's house. There's no meatballs. There's no pasta. There's nothing.
Or contraband.
Oh, and Thanksgiving, it gets worse. No Thanksgiving.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks for answering my question and taking time to have me on the radio with you.
Okay, and if you get that dog, take a picture and send it to us. We always like to see the new additions to the Animal Radio family. We have, sorry about that, Alan, Leslie on the phone. Hey, Leslie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I understand you want to talk to Joy Turner.
I'd love to.
She's right here.
Great.
How may I help you today?
My cat, Lucky Puck, he's 10 years old. About a week ago, he discovered that the cat door, which I've had taped up for a long time, he's an indoor cat, he discovered that it was loose, and he got out and found the joys of being outside. He has no outdoor skills, so I'd like you to see if he's willing to be trained to go on a harness, then I'm willing to work with him. But that's the only way I'll even consider it.
Okay, well, he's going to have a real argument with you about this, Leslie, because his impression is he may not have previous outside experience. However, he is a cat, and he can learn. And in his mind, being on a harness is just out of his question. That's just not a thing he's even really willing to think about, because then he may as well not even be outside. He really wants to be outside loose. He thinks he can learn everything he needs to learn, and he wants to know what your problem is with that.
My problem is that I'm his primary caretaker, and he isn't even calm inside the house. He isn't even relaxed when someone comes over in a safe setting. So I'm wondering, how does he anticipate taking care of himself unchaperoned outside?
He says, well, maybe he should back up a step here and tell you something that he's been feeling since he found about the cat door. He's tired of being what he considers basically a fraidy cat. And he feels right now like the outside is his natural environment and the inside is his unnatural environment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's like, it's like interacting with a child. Yes, I understand that. And
yeah, he just doesn't understand why he can't do this with his life, because he thinks up until this point he's done the things that you've wanted him to do.
Well, that's not exactly true. This is like talking to a child.
It is, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any suggestions?
Well, we can try to make a compromise with him. And the kind of compromise I would suggest is we can talk to him and tell him, if you are willing to try it on a leash, see how he is outside on a leash with you. And he says, by the way, you make him nervous in that situation because of your fear. So you're going to have to get a handle on your fear and make the compromise of, if he'll do the leash thing for a while, if you can get comfortable with seeing that you're going to be less afraid and he's going to be less afraid, then you can let him out. And let me explain to you how you might want to do this. You could teach him to be on the harness inside, teach him to be on a lead inside, take him outside with both of those so that none of that is new to him. Be with him, but go where he wants. So it isn't like you're trying to direct him. Yeah. And then what I would suggest, and is in fact something I did with my two kitties when they first came to me, I did the same thing, but I got a flex lead, you know, one of the leads that roll in and out. I staked it down to the ground and I put it somewhere where I was sure they couldn't get wrapped up in bushes or something, and I watched them from inside the window. So he's willing to try that if you are.
I have to think that over.
The other thing is you might try listening to Frank Sinatra's My Way with him lots and just get into it with him.
Thank you for your call, Leslie.
Well, don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear-Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
The dream team. Animal communicator Joy Turner. Dog father Joey Volani. Dog trainer Alan Cable. And in for Dr. Debbie this week, Doc Halligan.
Oh, I like this. It's a lot of fun. I mean, being with Joey, you know.
I noticed there's a lot of similarities between Doc Halligan and Doc Debbie. Like, they both are neuter happy. They both like the smells of weird things. I believe we have Martha. Hey, Martha, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling from today?
Ortonville, Michigan.
Ortonville.
Yeah, it's a suburb of Detroit, northern Oakland County.
Oh, well, I understand you have a question for Doc Halligan.
Yes, I do.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of problem with fleas. I have a English setter rescue dog, and I've used Frontline on her up till now, mostly during the summer every month, but the Frontline doesn't seem to be working at all anymore. They just keep coming back. As soon as I use it, they're there again. So
okay. How many pets in the household?
Oh, I have her and a Doberman, and we treat both of them.
You do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And do you wash either of them after you've put the Frontline on or your flea product on?
No.
Do you wait to wash them? Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's always worked. Like, the past 3 years, it's worked just great. And for some reason this year, she's come in all the time with just picking up fleas from the backyard. And I don't know. It just seems to be...
Fleas are frustrating. What people don't understand, the adult flea population is only 5% of the fleas that you're going to see. The rest, the 95% rest, are in egg larvae and pupae. So what can happen is those can build up over time in your yard, and you won't see them. And they will lie dormant for up to 2 years, and then when the temperature's right and the humidity, they'll just hatch. So what can happen, and are you using the Frontline or the Frontline Plus?
Frontline Plus.
The Plus. Okay, so you, at least you are using the one with the S-methoprene that kills the eggs. But you can, you know, end up having an infestation if you have two dogs in a yard, if you're not treating all year round. I used to have the problem with my two cats. And I would only treat, you know, during the summer months. And then I started, for the past year and a half, I've done it religiously every 3 weeks. I don't even go the 4 weeks. And that really seemed to work. Yeah, because, like I said, most of the flea population is in egg larvae or pupae. They have the same life cycle as a butterfly. And so you really have to work on eradicating those other forms. And that would be just using it every single month. Now, that can be expensive, but there is a generic form of the Frontline, and it's called Pet Armor. They sell it at Target, Walmart, and it's half the price. So if you're having trouble with the fleas, you really have to start using it, both dogs, every 3 weeks, no washing in between, religiously. And it takes about a good 3 to 4 months before you'll stop seeing the fleas.
Wow. No washing, even with this flea shampoo?
No. See, and, you know, their claims are, oh, yeah, it's waterproof, and it's not. It definitely decreases the efficacy if you wash the dogs. So what you do is wash both of the dogs and then put the flea product on and then wait 3 weeks and apply it again. Now, if for some reason you have to wash them, it's okay to reapply it in 2 weeks. It won't hurt them because it's really safe. People don't realize. I work in the shelters and we put it on little newborn kittens and puppies. It stays in the hair follicle. It does not go into the skin, and it doesn't go into their bloodstream. So it's extremely safe. Okay. So you don't have to worry about that. But it does wash off. And so I find that you really have to be diligent about it every 3 to 4 weeks and keep going all year round, and then you'll get rid of all the fleas.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any opinions about it, Frontline?
I have been using the generic Frontline on my cats for a year and a half, and I love it. In fact, one of my cats, Kinky, when I would put it on her, the Frontline, she would run around like it was stinging her, but the Pet Armor has a different solvent in it, so she seems to tolerate it better. So I just think, you know, the Pet Armor at Walmart or Target, just get it and use it. But you have to make sure you mark it on your calendar, because if you go longer than 4 weeks, even 1 day, you'll have a problem. Definitely. Yeah, it's very time specific.
Okay,
and I think,
thank you.
If they're not resistant to it, we have a lot of people coming in now saying the same thing, but it's just, I think, a matter of using it properly.
All right, thank you for your information. I appreciate it.
Good luck with that, Martha. We appreciate your call. On the show in just a few minutes, Lori Hess, who is a bird expert. You've seen her on, I believe, Good Day Today, Fox's Business News, Faithful Friend, Animal Planet. You've seen her on TV. She deals with birds. Has she ever dealt with your bird, Joey?
You know what? No, she hasn't dealt with my bird because my wife is always around. Anyway, no, she hasn't. I've actually, you know what? If you sit down and talk to her about birds, she's really, really smart. She gave me a lot of tips with my bird about changing diet and everything, and it definitely helped. She knows a lot about them.
Now, is it true that she has a crush on you?
Ooh. I don't know about that, but it was something strange happening.
Something fishy going on.
That's really I'm not going to say any more than that. Okay. But you know,
can I just?
You know, my wife basically said, "Hey, was that woman hitting on you?" And for some reason, I thought so too. But you know.
Can I just say, Joey, your wife is the most sweetest, most adorable woman in the world. You are so lucky.
Yeah, she really is.
Very tolerant, Hal.
No one says that about me. Everyone says, oh, your wife is so sweet. How about me? I'm not sweet. I'm not adorable. Come on.
Joey, you're adorable.
You're adorable. Your wife is lucky to have you.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
That's right. And I tell her that every day.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app.
for iPhone and Android.
Hey, y'all, it's Lisa Matassa, and you're listening to Animal Radio.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. There's a Florida couple who doesn't seem to have any need for a piggy bank, since their 10-year-old beagle, Arnie, appears to be more than willing to fill the role of money holder. Although I'm not so sure I'd want him to be holding my money. Corey and Hope O'Kelly tell the Tampa Bay Times their dog has twice swallowed hundreds of dollars in cash. Now, the first incident occurred about 7 years ago. Arnie devoured $150 that they left out on a coffee table. The Kellys were able to recover $100 after it passed through the dog's system. Was it all in quarters? How did they get dollar bills out of that dog's system? I guess we don't really want to know that, do we? Not a good image, huh? Anyway, they weren't as lucky when Arnie came back for a second expensive meal last month. They say he took $300 out of Hope's purse and apparently ripped it to shreds before he ate it. But even as a couple tries to piece the bills back together, they say they can't stay mad at Arnie. Corey explains that they're used to the dog being just a little weird, doing kind of quirky stuff. There's a British owner who had a 55-year-old parrot. Says her feathered friend left this world on a rather appropriate note. Nina Morgan told The Sun that the final word that was uttered by Tarbu, her African gray parrot, was "Cheerio." Morgan says it was quite part of his standard goodnight message, but she had a feeling something wasn't right this time around. She explained that Tarbu sounded weaker than usual and definitely knew something was wrong when he failed to greet her the next morning with his typical "Hello, my darling." Do you think I sound like a parrot? I think I do a good imitation. She says the bird offered a few little squeaks, but died a few moments later. Morgan says Tarbu, who reportedly was the world's oldest living parrot, gave her years of laughter. He's now buried in her garden underneath a Royal Air Force flag in honor of her late husband, who was an RAF pilot. I guess she had a thing for things that flew. A faithful dog refusing to leave his master, even though he's been at his side for 6 years in a graveyard. An Argentina newspaper reports that this dog ran away from home after his owner died. Well, a week later, the man's family found the German Shepherd wailing by his owner's grave. They say they had never taken the dog to the cemetery, so they're amazed that he even found it. The cemetery's director says 6 years ago, the dog wandered around until he identified the correct grave. Since then, he sometimes walks around during the day, but always returns to lie on top of it at night. I don't know, it's sad, but it's kind of creepy too, isn't it? To think this dog's running around the graveyard and he still knows his owner? I guess it's the scent. Maybe he can smell him from the grave. Hopefully they bathe the guy before they put him under. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating our connection with our pets. Toll free to connect with animal communicator Joy Turner, dog father Joey Volani, dog trainer Alan Cable, or in for Dr. Debbie this week, Doc Halligan. You having fun, Doc?
I'm having a blast. I mean, anytime I'm this close to Joey,
yeah,
you know, it just, what can I say?
If I could set the scene in the studio right now, the lights are dim, and you can see, you could almost cut the tension between Joey and Doc Halligan.
I want to put out some candles or something. Yeah.
You two have worked together before.
Right? Some champagne works.
There
like
you
that.
Go. And
yeah, we go way back. And I think in our previous life, we were connected. Not sure how, but...
Siamese twins connected?
Could be. Could be.
Yeah, by the neck.
No, we're yin and yang, right? Yin and yang. Yang. Who's yin and who's yang?
What a cute couple.
I think
couple.
I'm yang.
Oh, we are. It's too bad he's married, you know. It's a good thing he's married.
His wife you is know, always getting jealous of all these women. Tell you that.
Yeah, right he's now. A sexy guy,
he is
right?
Very sexy.
Look at him, you know?
If I was a gal,
I've never
I'd
seen
be
Joey
all over
blush yeah. like that.
Oh. No, when we did Groomer Has It, they were like, come on, you guys, just like go do it and get it over with, okay?
They really did. They thought we had something going on. And, the only thing that we had going on is I was like, I had to separate the judges. The her and our other judge, Xavier, didn't get along all that well. And I had to mediate. And one time I said, come on, we're all going to go in the same room. We're going to mediate it. And it got out of control. And I didn't mediate anything. I just kind of walked away and let the fight begin. And you can't fight with Karen.
I would give him like Snickers bars.
That's
and
love.
So then that's how it started.
Oh.
And then, you know, it just snowballed.
Joey, you also know our next guest too, Lori Hess, don't you?
I actually met Lori through Doc. We all had dinner one night in Manhattan, and my bird wasn't eating the right stuff to keep at her age properly. I guess have the proper nutrition. So you know, Dr. Hess actually helped me out and got my bird off mostly seed onto Nutriberries and putting a light, ultraviolet light in with the bird. And I think it's ultraviolet, but it's a special bird light that but it made a big difference.
You got a happy
you could
bird
see my
now.
Bird's feathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a happy bird.
Well, you've seen her on WPIX's morning show, CBS's show, The Doctors, Good Day, Street Talk. We welcome to the show Lori Hess. Hi, Lori. How are you doing?
Hi, good, thank you.
Where are we calling you today?
I'm in New York. I'm in the suburbs of just outside New York City.
The burbs.
Oh, fun.
How many birds do you have?
Four at home right now and two at my animal hospital, so six.
Now, is your animal hospital all birds or is it small animals too?
It's birds and exotic animals, so
exotic.
All kinds of stuff. Ferrets and rabbits and rodents and reptiles and amphibians and crazy stuff like sugar gliders and hedgehogs.
Oh, my.
There's no dogs or cats.
Cool. Hedgehog. Hedgehogs have to be cool, right?
I know.
They're very cool.
A lot of people have these exotic animals. What's the most exotic animal you've ever had to deal with?
People love to ask that question. Well, years ago I worked with primates. I don't do that anymore because they're very, very difficult to work with. I would say in recent years we had a really, really large Nile monitor. It's a really big reptile, really big lizard. It was about 5 to 6 feet long, and it actually came from Pennsylvania all the way to my animal hospital in New York because it was a kidney failure.
Wow.
And it was like working with something that wouldn't fit on your table. So it was a lot of fun. A little crazy.
We were just talking about this a few minutes ago. I wanted a primate. I wanted a monkey. And in fact, we'll be talking to Allison Eastwood in just a few minutes about her new program called Animal Intervention on Nat Geo, where she goes after a few people that have monkeys.
At their homes as pets.
Yeah. I did house calls for a number of years, and I used to see monkeys in homes, and they're just really not appropriate for a house or a house pet. They're really intelligent, and they're wild animals, and they can be dangerous, and it's really not even fair to keep them cooped up in a house. So I really don't recommend them as pets for a house.
My wife said that she didn't want an animal that could throw its crap at me. Really.
Well, at you maybe, but not at her.
Yeah.
Joey, do you do that?
Yes. When I get mad, I throw
Do you throw your poop?
Yes.
I kind of thought,
I do.
You're like an animal, isn't he, Lori? He's like an animal.
We'll have to talk to your wife about that. We'll get back to you on that one.
What were you doing with Joey's birds? What were wrong with his birds?
Well, like many other bird owners, Joey's bird was eating a bunch of seed and other things that we used to suggest years and years ago that we know now isn't really the best thing for them.
Really?
And, yeah. We know a lot more about birds 20 years later than we did 20 years ago. And part of what I do all day long is try to educate people about how to better take care of their birds and other exotic pets.
We get a lot of truckers that travel around with their sugar gliders. And I got to tell you, I never heard of a sugar glider before this show.
But I see dozens and dozens of sugar gliders all the time.
Is it the new thing?
Yeah, I mean, they've been around for a while, but there's definitely, in the past year or two, a wave of sugar glider interest going on. I mean, they're marsupials, so they're in the same family as kangaroos and wallabies, and they have a little pouch. People liken them to flying squirrels, but they're really not in the squirrel family. But they look kind of like little squirrels in the sense that they have a little body like that and a little tail, but they have a fold of skin that extends from their side out to their wrist. So it looks like when they open up, they look like a kite, and they kind of glide between things.
So they do fly. They do fly.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So are they like affectionate, like having a dog or,
or a
cat?
They're really affectionate. They're really, really social. In fact, we recommend usually people have them in pairs. Males and females do great together as long as you neuter them, and they're really fun.
How big are they?
How big are they? They're small. They fit in the palm of your hand.
Ooh, I want
and just because they're used to being in a pouch, the owners actually get these little zip-up pockets that look like, I don't know, maybe 6 by 6 inches, a little pouch with a zipper. That's where they sleep. They hang out of the pouch,
how
and you
cool.
wear it around your neck like a little bag around your neck, and that's how you travel around with them.
Well, now, do they need to be in a cage, or how does that work?
Yeah, they typically hang out in a cage at home, and it has to be escape-proof because they're very good at getting out. But you can travel with them and take them out, and they're just very interactive, very, very active little pets.
What do they eat?
They really eat a variety of things. They need some fruits and vegetables. They need some protein. They actually eat some insects. And interestingly, the one problem that we see with them is that people just give them a lot of fruit, thinking sugar glider, you know, that they do eat some fruit because they're Australian. But fruit is not enough for them, and we see a lot of problems like low calcium makes them tremor, or they don't get enough protein, they can get really sick. So nutritional problems are a really big deal with them.
We just got a text here at our Twitter account, rather. We got a tweet. Someone wants to know, is a sugar glider a good pet for a child?
For a very young child, I probably wouldn't recommend a sugar glider. It really depends on the child. I would say, you know, a teenage child, a tween, maybe. Little children, they can be, you know, these animals move very quickly and they get startled quickly, and they can nip if they're afraid. So I would say not for a very young child, but, you know, a teenager, yes.
What's at your website? I want to give that out. We're running out of time here. Avian Exotics Vet.
Yeah, it's Avian, A-V as in Victor, I-A-N as in Nancy. Exotics with an S on the end, vet.com, avianexoticsvet.com.
Wonderful. I head on over there. I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for taking time to join us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Lori Hess joining us. URLs to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com.
Hey, Eric and Rashi here, hosts of the CBS TV series Lucky Dog.
We're also the spokespeople for the 14th annual Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour, brought to you by Fido Friendly Magazine.
The tour travels from Los Angeles to Chicago, stopping at shelters along the way to support adoption events.
Join us and show sponsor Chewy at the tour's kickoff event on Saturday, August 27th, where lots of great pets will be available for adoption.
To find out where the tour stops near you, log on to FidoFriendly.com, and who knows, you just might find your new forever friend.
Hi, this is Jenna Fisher on Animal Radio. Please spay and neuter your animals.
You're listening to Animal Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Joey Volani, the dog father on Animal Radio.
See, Karen, you didn't know I can't my own violin players, did you? See that?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, you should be. You should be. Okay. Anyway, I got a, hold on. I got to look at the name here. Susan, and I can't say this last name, Flockovic. It looks like, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, I'm sorry, Susan, but bottom line is this, is she's having a problem. Well, she's not having a problem. She wants to know what's better. Should she be grinding her pet's nails or she should be cutting her pet's nails? And honestly, it's really doesn't matter. It's what your pet is going to tolerate. Number one, I want to just change a big misconception about grinding. Grinding, if you go too deep and you hit the quick, is also going to hurt your dog. It's going to cause discomfort. It's going to cause pain. It may or may not bleed because you're grinding it. You're grinding it down. So it's what happens is you almost seal the wound. But if you get too deep, of course, it's definitely going to bleed. But it definitely is painful. If you can get your dog to sit there and grind its nails, God bless you. Okay, because I find that it's much more difficult to do than to get a regular old nail clipper and clip your dog's nails. Now, two things about cutting your dog's nails. Number one, if you're a little squeamish at all and you don't want to see any blood, if you've never done this before, don't do it. Save it for your groomer or your veterinarian, because the bottom line is, first time out, I can almost guarantee you're going to hit the quick.
Ooh.
The other thing is, your dog isn't going to bleed to death. Don't worry about that, as long as you got styptic powder, okay, to coagulate the blood and stop it from bleeding. Now, my suggestion is just take off a little at a time. On a clear nail, if you look down the side, you could see the quick. You'll see the nice pink quick, and you want to go close to that, but not too close without making your pet bleed. On a dark colored nails, it's a little bit more difficult because you don't have anything to judge, Hal. So the bottom line is, I got to take off little by little by little. And if you actually look at the nail as you're cutting it, you'll see the nail will be, when you cut it, will be white. And then all of a sudden, you'll see a little dark center starting to come through. That's the beginning of the quick. That's basically where you should stop. Me personally, I'm a nail cutting guy. I'm not a grinder. I don't have much success grinding nails as I do, cutting nails. But a lot of people don't like this fresh cut nails because a lot of times they're real sharp until your dog walks on the pavement. So my suggestion is just get a little emery board nail file and just file it down, you know, two swipes of that and you'll be fine. But Sue, whatever floats your boat, whatever's working for you, stick with it. But again, be careful with the grinder because sometimes people will grind them way down and it does cause a little bit of discomfort for your pet. Mm. And that's my tip, baby. Yeah. How was that?
I couldn't get one of those grinders on my cat on a bet.
No.
they hate that noise.
As a vet, I can't tell you how many times we have the dogs come in, they've broken their nail, and it's just, you know, because people are not trimming their pet's nails on a regular basis.
You know, we see that all the time in the grooming salon. Forget about it. The dogs walk in and their toes are splayed because they're in agony, basically. Yep. And you cut their nails and it's almost like they've just woken up. Okay, you know, life has begun again.
Okay, can you imagine you wearing stilettos, right?
No, walking I cannot. Some stilettos. You know,
well, okay, but that's how the dogs feel when their nails grow like that. So put on a pair of stilettos. And just walk around.
I think I'd look hot in a pair of stilettos.
You might.
I'm going to walk around my house in a pair of stilettos.
And then that's how the dogs feel. But you, why do you think people don't trim their nails?
You know, I don't know. I just think they don't realize how important it is because I basically, you know, tell people that can't afford their pet's grooming, at least come to me and have your dog's nails cut, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks because it's just so important that you get them cut back. But really, I mean, I'm being honest when I say I've seen pets where, you know, they were in agony and then instantly you cut their nails and it was almost a new dog. The dog, like, regained its life and was walking around wagging the tail happy, and before that, I mean, you know, was just misery in its face.
We get so many in the shelter like that, and then we cut their nails and they do like a happy dance, right, where they're like, whoa, I can walk. But yeah, it's tragic. But you know, I wonder if it's because a lot of pets don't like it. I mean, I was nervous to do Nathan. You've met Nathan, Joey.
Is that your dog?
It's your cat.
My cat.
It's a cat. Okay.
And he's naughty. He drew blood for me when he was 6 weeks old, and I neutered him. So, you know.
Oh, was your revenge?
Yeah. That was it.
I'm going to neuter him.
But I was nervous to do his nails. And, you know, I mean, so I think a lot of people are nervous. And then Kinky, my other cat, her name is Kinky Girl. She's a very kinky girl. she has a kink in her tail. Oh. And so I quicked her that first time. And then, you know, yeah. And so then afterwards she was... It took a while before she kind of, you know, stopped thinking mom's going to quit me, because it happens. If they move, you quick them and it hurts. So I think that may be why people don't do it, because they're
afraid.
Do you
know the best pet I have to cut nails is my bird? My bird, you lay her right on her back and she holds her foot out.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can cut her nails. It's no problem.
Wow.
How very cool is that?
People don't realize, like, the rabbits and guinea pigs, they need their nails trimmed too.
We did a lot of them in the grooming salon.
I could use my nails.
Oh, you did?
Trim.
Yeah. Hey, Joey, what do you charge to have the nails done? How?
You know, we charge $10 on an average, but I'm going to be honest with you. It was one of those things. If you couldn't afford it, I used to just cut your dog's nails. Just bring the dog
you're
in.
A good guy.
And it was mainly because... No, you know what? That's a situation where it has to be done. If you can't afford it, you bring your pet to me. Listen, I'm probably going to have a friggin' line outside the door now.
Yeah.
But, you know, bring your pet to me.
Yeah, that's Joey Villani, the dog father. He'll clip your nails, your dog's nails, free of charge.
Yeah, I'm not going to cut your nails, pal. I'm sorry.
Dog trainer Alan Cable's here. In for Dr. Debbie is Doc Halligan.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio. Here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Alan Cable, dog trainer extraordinaire, as well as dog father Joey Villani and animal communicator Joey Turner. In for Dr. Debbie. Oh boy, she really needed a vacation. She was her eyes were crossing. Did you notice her eyes were starting to cross? She really needed this vacation. We have Doc Halligan in, and we're very glad to have Doc Halligan, who's the tension between Joey and Doc.
I know.
Something going on there.
Isn't that crazy? Now, Debbie doesn't have that tension with him?
No.
No.
No, I don't think anybody really does. Yeah.
Just you two.
Yeah, just bring it out.
Yes.
Let's see. Jim. Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Doing good.
Where are you calling from today?
Huntington, West Virginia.
West Virginia. How can we do it? What can we do for you there?
I have two cats. One's about 3 years old, and the other one's, I don't know, about 4 months. But our oldest one, when she uses a litter box, she does what she needs to do, and then she starts scratching all over the litter box, but not the litter. So I got to go over there and cover it all up.
Hi, Jim. Doc Halligan. That's funny. I've seen cats do that.
You just have to smell, and it ceases to be funny.
You're like, come on now. Could you get your feet in the litter? And they're just scratch, 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 right?
She just scratches all the plastic and everywhere, but she won't scratch the litter.
Well, now, which is the one that's doing that, the two-year-old or the kitten, the four-month-old?
No, the kitten's great. We were hoping she might show the older one how to do it, you know. But
it's
the older one, and she's always done that.
And so how long have you had her, Jim?
Since she was a kitten.
And so she's done the scratching on the sides of the litter box her whole life?
Right.
Okay. How old was she when you got her?
She was about 4 months old. She was a stray.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the thing is that cats are very particular about their litter, and it's quite possible at that age that she probably was used to using dirt outside. Have you tried using different litter with her?
Yes, we have.
Okay. What kind of litter have you tried?
The corn kind.
Mm-hmm.
We've done all the kinds from Sam's warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all.
Have you tried the clumping litter?
Yes.
You've tried the clumping because I have a feeling that she doesn't like the feel of the litter in between her feet, and that's why she's not wanting to use that. They have a lot of different brands. They have a one now that's maybe it mimics more like they would use in the wild, like dirt. And I wonder if she'd like that. The other thing, too, is do you have two litter boxes?
We did, but they only would use the one.
Okay, and are they the high litter boxes, or probably, are they the...
Probably about 5 inches
yeah.
high.
The 5 inches high. And how much litter are you putting in there?
I fill it about two-thirds full.
Two-thirds full. Yeah, I mean, I try experimenting with it. I mean, they've done so many studies on this because it is a real problem for cat owners, and it's one of the reasons they get turned into the shelters is because of, you know, their litter box habits. But I would try different types of litter experiment. I would get two boxes. You're supposed to have one box per cat. And like with mine too, I just have it right next to them. And I would try a bigger size box. So have two different sizes of box.
Okay.
And try using less litter. I know it seems kind of weird, but try putting less litter in there as well and experimenting with the amount of litter you put in. Do you use the scented or the unscented?
Unscented.
Okay, good. That's what we recommend, the unscented, because cats have a really strong sense of smell.
The one and, you're talking about that smells, that is like dirt, what is the brand name of that? Are you allowed to tell?
You know what? I can't remember. I can see it. It'll be, if you just go to a pet store in your area, they will have it. It's relatively new, but like I said, it mimics more like what they would use in the wild, because that's my feeling is she's been doing it since she was 4 months old. That's what she was used to, because they get trained with the litter very early on when they're kittens. Between 4 and 8 weeks, they actually start using the litter box.
She was older than that when we got her, I think. So.
Right, so she was used to going outside probably,
we don't know what her life story is.
Right. Don't you wish they could tell you?
Oh, heaven.
I just look at my cats and go, I wish you guys could just talk, right?
Yes. The two that we have are both strays. Mm-hmm. And we feed them Halo.
Mm-hmm. That's a great diet.
It's a very good one. Because the oldest one, if we give her anything cheap, vomits.
Okay, so she's sensitive. Mm-hmm.
Just wonder how much in the wild she was before we got her, because her little stomach is so sensitive. But I've tried all kinds of different litters. I will go back up to Petco and see what they have.
And tell them that you talked with me and that I was recommending the one that's more like dirt substance.
Okay.
than the litter. Because it she just probably doesn't like the feel of it, sounds like, right? She's just not using it to cover up her feces, and you guys should not have to go do that for her.
Well,
right?
I've even taken a hold of her paws to show her how to do it.
Oh, you've done it? Yeah,
she
no, that won't
it.
Work. Right, that won't work.
Oh, she
you know,
it.
Right. And it's funny because it's interesting because the other kitten is doing what most cats would do, but it's something with her psychologically that she doesn't like. And then what you could do is if she does do it, you could positively reinforce her when she does do the behavior that you want. Like if you have any like treats, once she jumps out of the box.
Oh, she has by mistake done mm-hmm. it, and it is a mistake. Mm-hmm. I mean, we praise her, we
oh,
do
good.
Everything, but it
okay.
certainly hasn't worked.
Well, yeah, I do think, I've been a vet for 23 years, and I have seen this before, and it's because they don't like the substrate that's in the litter box. And sometimes people are using too much, so you got to try varying the amount that you put in there. Try a different size box as
okay.
well. And try this. I'm sorry, I wish I could think of the name of it, but you'll see it there. It's available at all the pet stores.
Well, I'm up there all the time, so that's
okay.
No
and then
problem.
Get back to us. Is how can she get back to
absolutely.
Us if it's not working? So I can
we do follow up.
We'll go to plan B.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Mrs. Jim. I appreciate your call today. And if it doesn't work, give us a call back. We'll try to figure it out for you.
it's Vinnie Penn, your party animal on Animal Radio. So my daughter, 7 years old, wants me to take out the family photo album the other day. She says, I want to see pictures of Grandma, which is always quite difficult for me. That's my mother, who passed away just about 2 years ago. Devastating blow from which I still haven't recovered. But when my daughter wants to see pictures of her grandmother, damn it, we look at the pictures. And this time, you know, they say time heals all wounds. My mother battled pancreatic cancer valiantly and went out with dignity. So it gets easier. And some of the pictures actually can bring a smile to your face. Funny. She was good for these funny dances and whatnot. We were flipping through, and my daughter noticed it. She actually said for the first time, she's like, geez, Daddy, you're not sad for the first time. We're further into the book than we've ever been. And I said, yeah, I'm noticing that myself. So we went deeper. We went back into pictures she may have never even seen. And then all of a sudden, we struck a photo of my mother with our dog, Cruiser, who we lost quite a few years ago. And lo and behold, the trigger. The two of them together, Cruiser sitting in her lap. She never even liked the name I gave him, but she let me give him the name. The two of them together, it was just not ready for that one. I made fun of a girl once for having a doggy photo album, and it said it on front. It was specifically for her dogs. She had big dog. She had two huge dogs that would greet you at the door. I mean, they made Marmaduke look like a Shih Tzu. And I said, but oh my, doggy photo albums. Can't you just put them in with the family photo? This was the first time that I thought, geez, you know, that doggy photo album, not a bad idea. Vinnie Penn, party animal, Animal Radio.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. Are you thinking of getting a dog? Well, here's some things to think about before you do it. Firstly, are you out of the house a lot? Do you work all the time? Give the idea of getting a dog some thought if you're in that situation. I mean, put yourself in the dog's shoes. Imagine being locked up all alone all day with, well, nobody to play with. There are some dogs that like to lay around a lot and they're less active, but most dogs need exercise. They need playtime and interaction. Sometimes folks don't think about it, but dogs are living things and you can't turn them on and off when you want to, like your TV. When you get one, you're making a major commitment to spend, oh, I don't know, the next 13 to 16 years of your life committed to a living thing, making sure it has a good life. I bring this up because a lot of folks go out and get dogs without actually knowing what they're in for. And again, education's your most powerful tool. You should read up. Ask yourself why you want a dog and make a list of all the reasons. Then look your list over closely. And if you still think you want a dog because you'd be a great dog parent and enjoy satisfying your dog's needs, decide whether or not you want a puppy or an adult dog. Puppies have lots of needs. They need exercise. They need to be around lots of people and lots of other dogs. They're learning about the world and it's up to you to show it to them. Plus, you got to potty train them, teach them what not to chew on. In fact, you got to teach them all the rules and ropes. Adult dogs usually are a lot less work and a lot more mellow too. In fact, it's possible to get a rescue dog or an adult dog that requires very little. Maybe just a good long walk every day and some affection. The one thing you don't want to do is bring a dog home and be in for lots of surprises, not know what to expect. You know, stuff like finding your favorite shoes chewed up or the drapes pulled down, carpet pulled up, door chewed up. I've seen it all. You would not believe the destruction that a dog can do to your house. So before you get a dog, think long and hard, make a list, and do a lot of research and reading so that you both can be happy. I'll tell you this much, there's nothing more rewarding than having a dog. They're incredibly loyal. They're always happy to see you. They never lie to you, and they give you unconditional love.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
phenomenal. Judy doing the moonwalk.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I got it going on.
Didn't know you could dance like that.
That music gets me going. Yeah.
Boy, all the lines lit up today, Judy. Which
I
one are we
know.
Going to?
Let's go to line two.
Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Very good. I understand you want to talk to Alan Cable.
Yes. I just had a question.
What is your problem, Richard? Richard, tell me your problem. I'm here for you. I love you, buddy.
Okay. Yes, I have. My mother has a small little dog. It's not a poodle, but it's a mixed poodle with another type. I'm not sure which. But anyways, you know how you call dogs when they see you, they haven't seen you for a while. They usually run up to you. Well, this dog usually does the opposite. It shies away from you. Just wondering if there's any way to break that.
Does the dog do it to everybody or just you, buddy?
Everybody, except
everybody.
Most likely her.
Except your mom. And how long has your mom had the dog? Since a puppy, or did she rescue it?
The landlord gave it to her. It was about 4 months old.
See, Richard, basically, it's pretty. This one's pretty simple. The dog's just afraid of people. And usually that happens when dogs aren't socialized properly during that critical period when they're little puppies. So the dog attempts to flee from people because it's afraid. And that's one of the techniques that dogs use when they're afraid. They run away. Sometimes they show their teeth or they growl or they become very still. And that's how you know the dog's afraid. And to stop a dog from being afraid of people, you basically have to make the dog understand that, you know, you're no threat and that you're actually a positive thing. So it might be a good idea when you walk in the house when the dog's afraid, have your mom remove the dog to another place. And then you just sit in a chair and your mom lets the dog out. And every time the dog goes a little bit closer to you to investigate you, your mom goes, good dog, and gives the dog a treat. And the dog starts to associate you and other people with treats instead of being fearful that you're going to do something. It's so funny, Richard. People think that dogs have been abused when they're afraid of people, but some dogs are just afraid of people that wear hats or people that have beards or people that are women, people that are men. When I was helping out in Columbus, Ohio at the training center for the service dogs, one dog failed because he was afraid of the Walmart happy face. I mean, he'd passed everything. He'd learned how. Yeah, we couldn't walk him over a Walmart happy face in the store. He was just fearful of that.
Those things freak me out, too. I got to be real honest with you. Whenever I see, that's why I don't shop there, is because of those smiley faces.
Isn't that something? I mean, you just never know what a dog's going to be afraid of, but you can tell when they are afraid. And this dog just sounds like very afraid and fearful, so you kind of have to slowly be patient with her and get her to the point where she associates people besides your mother with pleasure.
Well, I should have said that it's a male dog, and I've actually known it for a little while. It's always excited to see me, but it wags its tail. It's always excited, but when I call
That's a mistake, Richard. It appears to you that the dog is excited to see you, but what you're really seeing is anxiety and fear. A lot of people mistake that for the dog's happy. Just because a dog is wagging its tail and going kooky, it doesn't mean they're happy to see you. What it actually means is they're afraid of you because you're coming onto their territory and they're trying to deal with their fear. That's why she turns around and runs away.
Oh, okay. All right. And as soon as I sit in its safe place, then it comes over to me and wants me to pet it and all that. But the intro stuff, it's always run away and then run to its safe spot.
She's fearful, and she's trying to protect your mother. Your mother's probably not a strong, dominant pack leader, and the dog just thinks it has to protect your mom. It's afraid of everybody. And then once you sit down, you know, and it becomes mellow, she can kind of investigate you. But she's still afraid of you, buddy.
Okay, that sounds like it is. That's the case, so... Yeah, thank you very much.
Yep, just be calm. Have your mother be calm and act like the dog isn't there. Just walk in, sit down. Pay no attention to the dog. And when your mom knows you're coming over, it'd be a good idea just to put her in another room so that she can be introduced to you after you're inside the house. And that goes for everybody.
Okay.
Is that the dog and the mom?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
That's a good question, Joey.
Thanks for your call, Richard. 1-866-405-8405 to connect with our dream team.
Hey, I got a confession here that I gotta because it's it's no fun without people knowing what's going on. So Judy, I'll talk to you and Al and everyone else. I'm not talking to Hal because this has to do with Hal.
Uh-oh.
I sent
him
a nice email. I sent Hal a nice email this week. So I thought, okay, nice email from someone. I'm not gonna get into the crux of it, but he sent me back a response that was a little jerky, and if I could have punched him right through the computer at that time, I would have, but I couldn't. So I
Hal sent something jerky? How?
Yeah, a little, you know, he had a little jerky response back that wasn't too nice. So I just said, you know what, there's no problem, but I'll get even. So just so you guys know, because it's this is no fun knowing alone.
Right.
I took my four dogs over to Hal's house,
uh-huh.
and I had them all crap on his lawn, okay?
Well, that was your dog. That was your dog.
Yeah, those were my dogs, just so you know. And then they dug
what
up a little, because after they crap, they dig. So just so everyone knows. But I feel good now about it,
Hal, well, you know
so
what?
We don't have any. You know, there's no problem.
You should feel better because he actually stepped in it.
Yeah. In the middle of the night, I went to go get my newspaper.
Yes.
And I said, that damn next door neighbor dog's crapping on our lawn again.
Uh-oh. What'd you do to your neighbor?
It's no fun unless people know that you did it, you know?
Yeah.
Email stinks, though. You can't see what the person's intent is.
I know. You can't tell if someone's laughing, if they're being sarcastic or what, because I'll tell you real honestly, and I think should we share it with the audience?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Joey sent me a very gracious email from a listener that said they really love the show. They think it's great that we should win some kind of award. And Joey forwarded that to me, and I wrote back, that and $4 will give me a gallon of gasoline, is what I wrote back.
You didn't.
And you know what?
Yep. How?
That was one of those cases that I really wish that I had like a timer on my email that I could think about this before I send it. I really didn't mean it that way, Joey. I didn't mean it to sound sarcastically.
Yeah. No, Joey, you didn't mean it that way. That was just a nice response to the email I sent you.
Yeah.
I can understand.
You know what it sounds like, though, Joey? It sounds like an indictment of Hal's lack of confidence in himself, if I might be a psychotherapist.
There you go.
Oh, well, thank you, guys.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours. And let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. There's a western Pennsylvania city that's working hard to revitalize a key 10-block stretch of their downtown business district, and they're considering banning dogs from the area as part of their plan. Officials in Beaver Falls, population 10,000, believe that part of the problem is that larger dogs, including pit bulls and Rottweilers, are sometimes left tied to parking meters by their owners, according to the Beaver County Times. Many dog owners are being irresponsible, and they ruin things for everybody, according to Steve Johnson, a city administrator. Some of these dogs are as big as ponies, city officials say, and another concern is that some owners don't clean up after their dogs. Critics express doubt that getting rid of dogs would actually help. Gary Davis told the Times the scheme was a waste of time. What they need to do is patrol the street. Davis is a retiree. He said the city is still researching a possible ban and council doesn't expect to act on it until later in the year. Well, the past year and a half, at least 360 dogs and one cat have died in the U.S. after eating chicken jerky pet treats made in China. That's according to a new online summary that's been posted by the FDA. Meanwhile, more than 2,200 reports have come into the agency from pet owners claiming their animals were sickened or died after eating these products. Cases have come from all 50 states and 6 Canadian provinces. The FDA summary states nearly 86 million pounds of pet food came from China in 2011. The fastest growing segment of the pet food is currently pet treats. The agency cannot issue a recall based solely on consumer complaints, but it is reminding pet owners that they can avoid the products completely, saying jerky pet treats are not necessary for pets to have a fully balanced diet, so eliminating them will not harm pets. The FDA said it is now looking into whether or how irradiation may have affected the treats or contributed to any illness in pets. A South Carolina woman who was willing to go to court over her chicken is celebrating a victory this week. According to the Island Packet, Stephanie Stewart's been asked to get rid of her family's pet chicken, Smarty, because farm animals are banned by city ordinance in Bluffton. But Stewart argued that Smarty's a pet rather than livestock and took the case to court. Well, a municipal judge, K.N. Darby, dismissed the case after the arresting officer failed to show up. However, since the judge didn't make a ruling on whether the hen was really a pet, Stewart says there still could be trouble down the road. She says she's already got two more letters from homeowners who insist that the bird has to go. I don't know. I mean, a barking dog or a squawking chicken? What's worse? I'll tell you, my neighbors would probably say my dog, Jack, my black lab, is probably worse than a squawking chicken. But who knows? Somebody will probably end up taking that chicken and making chicken nuggets out of it. Watch. I'm not saying I advocate that, just so you know. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal raking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, this is Jane Lynch on Animal Radio. Please spay or neuter your animal. I love it.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
In for Dr. Debbie, who's vacation, much needed vacation. That girl works so many hours, 24 hours a day practically, it seems like. She's on a 2-week vacation, fill in the very big shoes, and she does it so well. Doc Halligan. Doc, thank you so much for doing that. We appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad that she could get away because, like you said, she deserves it.
And you get to hang with your old bud, Joey Volani.
I know.
To go way back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. Separate those two.
Listen, there's a new program on Nat Geo, and we got a trailer of it last night and checked it out. It looks fun. It looks like an interesting program, and it's called...
Animal Intervention.
That's what it's called, Animal Interventions. And thank you, Judy, for handing me that. I'm sorry, I'm always taking your notes.
Yes, you are.
Last night, the version we saw was, I don't think it's actually aired yet, so I'm not going to tell you the whole thing about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when that aired. I know the show has already started, but I'm not sure when this one aired.
And one of the hosts is Clint Eastwood's daughter, Allison Eastwood. Hi, Allison. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Doing splendid. Where are we calling you today?
I'm actually just outside of Los Angeles. I'm heading up, driving up to Carmel, Monterey Peninsula area to see my folks.
Oh, good.
Oh, wave to us as you go by Morro Bay.
Oh, I will wave.
Animal Intervention. It's got to be a tough program to film because there's so many peculiar situations that these animals are in, and all of them are exotic animals, from tigers and lions in a magic show in Branson, Missouri. A show that you would think that the animals were well taken care of, but you didn't think
not
so, right?
Not always the case.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, it happens, unfortunately, with a lot of, you know, circuses, show, you know, different magic shows, different types of shows. You know, there's unfortunately a lot of abuse that goes on behind the scenes for your entertainment, which is really unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, we went to Branson and visited the gentleman in the show, the magician. I was really kind of shocked that, you know, these animals are kept, you know, in the theater and in unnatural lighting, and they've never been outside. They've never had any nature, and they've never had any grass or any dirt or any sunlight. And it's just, you know, and it smells really, really toxic back there. So it was pretty shocking for me. And I, you know, I felt really bad for these cats.
Why does it seem like the magician felt that these animals were all okay in the environment with no sunlight? He even
small
says
cages.
They were very gentle, and one of them actually takes a swipe at him.
You know, I think it has to do a lot with ego, and I think that, you know, there is a disconnect between, you know, he feels they're his family, but you would never treat your family like that. You would never keep your kid in a bathroom all day long and, you know, not let it go outside and play and have a natural life. So I think, you know, I think it's just a disconnect of not believing that animals are, you know, have the right same, you know, rights that humans do. And, you know, and there's a bit of an ego thing. I'm sure, you know, he's very, you know, he's a popular magician in Branson, and, you know, he thinks of himself as quite the man. And I think he just kind of, you know, it's all about him dominating these animals.
So,
you know, I'm not quite, I think there's definitely a psychology to it, and I'm not a psychologist, so I'm just kind of, you know, speaking my own opinion, but it's definitely, there's something kind of off there. There's a disconnect between him and the animals.
So your goal was to go in, perhaps, and get one of these animals out?
Yeah, our goal was we wanted to go in and see. I mean, our goal in the show is always to go in and be helpful. You know, we're not trying to go and ruin people's lives, and we're not the cops, and we don't have authority to do that. We come there to see their stories, to talk to them, figure out if we can be helpful, possibly relocate or rescue any of the animals that they have. And this guy, you know, we had heard, he's been cited a few times by the USDA. There's some public records of things that haven't gone on that are quite, you know, up to par. So our idea was to go in and ask him if we could relocate one of the cats, because one of them specifically is very, very agitated, very upset. You actually see it in that episode. It's just banging against, you know, the plastic, you know, the plastic plexiglass and the walls and pacing, and very, very upset cat. So we thought, you know, maybe he would allow us to relocate this one cat and free up some of the space too, so that maybe he could make these enclosures a little bigger and just kind of see if we could be helpful at all. But he didn't really want our help.
Let's talk about you. Were there, when you were growing up with Dad, were there animals around the house? Did you have animals?
Yeah, I've always loved animals. I'm a huge animal lover, and that's kind of how this show came about, was that I wanted to find a way to take my passion for helping animals and nurturing animals and make it into, you know, something that is educational and entertaining. So, yeah, I had everything. We weren't allowed to have dogs and cats because my dad is and my brother were very allergic to dogs and cats.
Really?
So I had everything, yeah. He's actually very allergic to horses, and so people get very upset to hear that because of the
sure.
cowboy movies. And I said,
oh,
I hate to burst your bubble, but he's actually really allergic to horses.
Oh, how funny.
So,
when he was on set, he was on set with a lot of horses most of the time.
Yeah, I think he had to have shots and inhalers and all sorts of, I mean, that was back in the late 60s, too, so I don't know what kind of stuff they had, but I know he, you know, would literally just jump on and do the, you know, do his scene and then hop off and
wow.
try not to even, you know, touch the horse.
How funny.
I'm bursting the Hollywood magic yeah. bubble there.
I have to go back and look at an old movie and see if his eyes are all watery. And...
Did he have dogs? Was he allergic to dogs?
No, yeah, we didn't. We did have a dog, and then the dog passed away, and we never got another one because we felt that, you know, the allergy problem. So we have pet rats, we had rabbits, I had fish, birds. Anything you could possibly imagine. I even had hermit crabs at one point. So I kind of, anything I could, you know, mother and nurture, I got that. So,
what does Dad think of the show?
You know, he hasn't seen it yet. We're doing a little premiere in L.A. You know, it hasn't actually aired yet. It airs Tuesday night, and it's on Nat Geo Wild. And he hasn't seen it, but we're having a little premiere in L.A., and I think he's going to come. So he'll get a chance to see it then.
Allison Eastwood joining us. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you for having me on. And I hope everyone checks out our show. I'm really proud of it.
Animal Intervention is the program. Allison Eastwood joining us.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, this is Cesar Milan. When I'm not doing the dog whisper, I'm listening to Animal Radio. Stay balanced.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Morgan reminding you to please spay or neuter your pets.
Check out Animal Radio Highlights, all the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
Bob, hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Oh, just fine.
How you doing, Bob? I can spell your name either way, front or back.
Yeah,
I get the same result.
I got a poodle, just a real cutie, party colored, black ears and white body, one little black spot on the top of his back. Right off the test, to buy my own grooming stuff, I got the good Andes clippers and the wall stainless steel comb and the combs and stuff. But I drive truck, and they've just, everything got so darn busy. I haven't had time to groom her, and I think it's going to be a real job. She bites me when she's just barely 2 years old, or not, and won't let me do to brush her out on the feet. I can get her back, and I can get her belly. I got to get her almost in the headlock to get her around her do her ears and stuff. But she'll increasingly start to bite harder and harder when I try to do her feet. So what, do I have to go to a professional, or you're a groomer, right, Joey?
I am a groomer. I am the groomer, Bob.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, I like that Millionaire movie. I love that. Millionaire groomer. I love that.
I got to ask you a few questions. Now, when you're grooming your poodle, do you do it? I mean, do you have, I mean, you got everything else. So I'm going to ask you this. Do you have a table and a grooming arm, or no? You're just doing this like on a tabletop?
Yeah. I put her on a table, and I sit on the leather couch, and I got the L bracket all from Pet Edge, and I got the noose.
Wow, okay, great.
Like hangs the noose. And she really, to comb her feet or even begin with the combing out, the noose thing that doesn't hold her. If I sat up higher, I use the coffee table. I live in a great big brand new RV, and it was leather furniture and stuff in it. And I don't mind where I put her. I put her on the coffee table with a mat that I bought like the barber rug with rubber underneath it.
I'll tell you what, you already made your job. You already made your job 100 times easier with the grooming arm, what you call the L bracket. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, the grooming loop, what I call, because I don't like calling it a noose. It sounds like we're bringing our dogs out to hang them. So the grooming loop that you have, they have something called a groomer's helper. A groomer's helper is an attachment that attaches to the pole on that L bracket or the arm that you call it. And what it'll do is it'll attach to your grooming loop right underneath, right after where the Adam's apple would meet. So what it does, it holds the dog's head in place. The dog is very comfortable. Matter of fact, it pulls away from the trachea so they can even breathe a little bit better. But what they can't do now is turn around and try to bite you. Two things. Make sure you're not brushing the dog too hard. With a slicker brush, you don't have to apply any weight to that brush at all. I can use my two fingers and just lightly brush it through, and it'll eventually work down into the coat. So you want to make sure that you're not brushing it too hard. If you feel comfortable with that, use the groomer's helper and start on the back feet. And just take your time. What you want to do is you want to get the dog used to all this. Now, obviously, at this point, do you like the feet shaved like a poodle, or do you keep hair on them?
I keep hair over her. Oh yeah, I use a 1/3 of an inch.
Then you're fine, because if you were going to try to do clean feet, that's a little bit different. That's something I would probably leave up to the professionals, only because it could be a little bit dangerous. But look it up, and you already, you know, I mean, you've already gotten the professional equipment, and where you found the professional equipment, you will find groomer's helper. It's a groomer's helper is what it's called. I was on Groomer Hazard, so I just got a little brain tied there. Groomer's helper, and what it'll do is hold the dog's head in place comfortably and safely. It'll get the pet used to being brushed, and then you won't get bit anymore. And that's the best tip that I can give you on that.
I bought three different types of detangler from the different companies, you know, for Ryan's and Pet Edge and one at Walmart, in fact. And I kind of mix them all. I don't know which one's going to work best. But
just throw them all at the wall. One will stick.
Whatever you do, don't mix them.
Don't mix them.
And I'll tell you why. That's important. When you mix different chemicals together, you can make a different chemical compound, because it's happened to actually people in the industry developing products that I know. And so you don't want to mix them, because they can actually react on each other. They can make it worse. They can irritate. They can do a lot of things. So when you find the one that you like, and there's plenty of them out there, there's certain ones that I like better than others, and you may like something. It's really, you know, personal preference. When you find the one that you like, stick with it. But yeah, you definitely, you know what, I'll tell you, you know a lot about grooming so far. I mean, because what you're doing is right. Start, you want to brush before you bathe, because it's going to loosen everything up. It's going to help you get your clipper through the coat. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, Party Color is my favorite poodle, because I like the color combination. But what you're doing is great. But again, try that groomer's helper, and you're going to see. Now, you got to remember, at some point in time, you may have to throw the towel in. If it gets too bad, you know, sometimes we got to work with our pets. And it happens in grooming salons. There's times where I have to say, you know what, it's not the right thing for this particular dog, because the dog hates it that much that it could become a dangerous situation for you and your pet.
Okay, I hope that helps you, Bob. And that's all we have time for today. Remember, you can grab us over at Facebook at Animal Radio, or tweet us at Animal Radio, or grab the Animal Radio app for iPhone or Android. Or just email us at yourvoice@animalradio.com. Pretty funny how emailing us now is old school. That's the old way to get in touch with us. From all of us here at Animal Radio, have a great week. We'll see ya.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you guys rock.
This is Animal Radio Network.